Today is a day we're going to be talking about baptism. We have a baptism planned in the schedule for Easter. We have one each Easter. Actually, we have two times in the year in our church that we have baptisms. And so I want to plant that in your hearts today, that seed. If you've been baptized already, that you would pray for others to be baptized, right? To not just, you know, we don't have anyone who has said that they would like to be baptized on Easter yet. So one of the things we can do together is to pray for that to happen. Okay. Are we in agreement? We can all pray for the Lord to touch the hearts of people who haven't been baptized yet. Right. And we're going to see why. It's an interesting thing. God's word is very powerful. And it works among us in many different ways. As I was preparing the lesson for today, I opened up a commentary that was written by John Calvin. John Calvin is one of my favorite people as Christians. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. But he wrote so many different things that help us, and they're all available online, you know, free. It's crazy. But I mean, this is one of the great Christian examples of people who really poured out his heart to help other people to understand the Bible. And so I often turn to him to read what he wrote and to also things that, you know, come into view that I didn't expect. For instance, when I was turning to the book of Matthew, the commentary that he wrote, he actually didn't write all about all of the Gospel of Matthew, but he wrote an introduction to it to talk about Matthew and who he was and the things that we can learn from this person, Matthew. One of the things that he did at the beginning of this commentary was to explain what the gospel is. And so if you have a bulletin, you'll find a little insert today. And it's something that he wrote. If you don't have one, I'm not sure if do we still have bulletins? If anybody needs one, you can raise your hand and you can have one. You can follow along. Someone suggested that, you know, instead of me just reading these things, that it would be good for us to have it in writing so that we can all see it. So I thought that was a good idea. And so we have this before us today. And I'm just going to read it. And this is written by John Calvin in regards to what the gospel is. Right? It's not the only thing he wrote. He wrote a lot. But this is kind of a summation of what he says. Okay. So he says the gospel, and we're talking about the gospel that is in the gospel of Matthew, right? The gospel, therefore, is a public exhibition of the Son of God manifested in the flesh. A public exhibition of the Son of God manifested in the flesh to deliver a ruined world and to restore men from death to life. It is justly called a good and joyful message, for it contains perfect happiness. Its object is to commence the reign of God, and by means of our deliverance from the corruption of the flesh and of our renewal by the Spirit, to conduct us to the heavenly glory. All right, so let me go back and just talk through this just a bit, because this is really all based on the Bible. It's everything that he saw and reads in the Bible. So the gospel, which means the good news, and thus he was saying it is a good and joyful, right, message. Therefore, it's a public exhibition of the Son of God. So it's not just God doing something from afar. It is God doing it publicly here among all of us, right? Jesus came to earth. And so in that way, God is exhibiting in a public way for all to see the Son of God manifested in the flesh. Manifested means that he became a man, right? He came in the flesh, just like we have flesh. It was manifested in that way. It was God incarnated is another way of putting that, right? So coming in the flesh, not just God talking to us through the Spirit and then we don't see him and things like that, but it's Jesus coming as a baby, just as we experienced and celebrated, right? Why? To deliver, to save a ruined world. How is the world ruined? Through our sins, right? It was ruined. And he came to deliver a ruined world, right? and to restore, very important word, to restore men from death to life. And so we're taken from death in sin and restored to life. Okay. And therefore it's justly called a good and joyful message because it contains perfect happiness. The perfect happiness is found in Jesus Christ himself saying, I'm going to come and save all of you, all of us from death. And that is a happy thought, isn't it? It's a joyful thought. It's a joyful message. It contains perfect happiness, right? So this is very inviting, to hear it in this kind of a way from John Calvin. Its object, right? The gospel, its object is to commence the reign of God. You ever heard of the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is among us. And that is what is found in the gospel. It's the start of that, right? God's kingdom always was and always will be, but Jesus coming into the world in that way showed us that the kingdom was at hand. It was here among us. And that's what he's talking about here, to commence the reign of God, his reign. And by means of our deliverance, right, being saved from the corruption of the flesh, Jesus died so that we would be saved from corruption of the flesh and renewed by the Spirit. And that's what happens when we are baptized, right? We are baptized and then we receive the Holy Spirit. And that is the renewal of our souls so that we live on into eternity, right? To conduct us to the heavenly glory. That means to bring us into the glory of heaven. And so it's really the beginning of our lives where we are dead in our sins and then brought into the glory of heaven. We have new life. We were dead and now we're not, right? And that is the gospel. That's the good news, right? And that's John Calvin writing this down for us to explain to us what it means. And then we take these words from him and we relate it to what we read in the Bible. And then we can also use these words or we can formulate words that are more personal to our own situation and tell people about what it means to be a Christian, right? And that's what God wants from us. And I think that it's a wonderful thing. And I was thinking today how beautiful it is that someone would dedicate themselves for the sake of the kingdom of God. That means all of us and all believers, that he would teach us these things so that we would know how to bring that news to other people more effectively, so that we would understand it and appreciate our God, right, in that kind of a way. And so you can keep those. I hope that you'll keep it. And you can look it over and really use it, right? If you have questions about it, you can ask questions about it and you can search the scriptures. But each one of us has this assignment from God to develop and to exercise our belief in him through our witness, through the gospel, to take the gospel message and tell someone who what it is. That girl that came to the door of my sister's room had never known who Jesus was. Right? Think about that. And if she, right, if this person in New Jersey does not know who Jesus is, then I would say there's probably a lot more like her. Would you agree? And what is it, what do they respond to? The word of God being spoken. You know, it's a secondary sharing of the gospel. You're telling someone and encouraging someone and talking to them about it. And you know what? Maybe someone else is standing nearby and they're hearing what you say. And you're not even talking to them, but other people hear it. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God does. He takes those things and he brings, you may not even, I mean, right now, right? We don't know what God is doing and preparing us for, but there are people that need to know who Jesus is. And we are the means by which he achieves that. He uses us as his witnesses. We come out and we just tell a person, you know, about Daniel. And then they come back and they say, who is Jesus? Right? That's God working in the heart of this young lady there. And I really believe that we need to be looking for opportunities like that. And I think that there is, in the place that my sister is staying, they have, because of COVID, shut down a lot of anything that has to do with God. They don't have worship services. They don't have anything like that. Think about that. We come here every Sunday. And we know that there's going to be a worship service here unless something, you know, happens that prevents us from, you know, getting here or something like that. But it is always that. And do we appreciate the fact that we can praise? I was thinking today, listening to Anthony and all the family and all of us singing here together, and there are people that don't get anything. Nothing. You know? Pastor Singletary is coming at the end of this month, and he gave a wonderful sermon at the New Bridge Care Center in Paramus. And he spends every week with people who come in, you know, they come downstairs to have a worship service in that care center. There isn't one where my sister is. There was, but there isn't now. And there's no chaplain, you know? So for me, that speaks to me that I have to go there more often and do that. And I have to talk with the authorities there and say, you know, you need to have the spiritual body also attended to in the people here, or else they're just going to waste away, you know? So anyway, excuse me for getting into that, but this is what the word of God is. And my point is that when we read the gospel and we read the book of God, it is not just that we see. He opens up all kinds of things to our minds, our hearts, and he speaks to us because he knows exactly what we need to do. And he knows the people in our lives, and he knows who we are, and he identifies with us that way. And he's thinking, I'm going to use you to so that other people will know who I am. And it could happen in different ways, right? So anyway, so that was one aspect of what I wanted to share with you. So please, you know, look this over and try to, you know, digest what Calvin is writing here, because, you know, if you miss everything else, then at least remember he says it's justly called a good and joyful message because it contains perfect happiness. That should be a, you know, an attention grabber. It's perfect happiness. Is that the way you feel about God? That's the way we want to feel about God. He gives us perfect happiness because of his love for us. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. So we get into the scripture today, but there's also another aspect to this, and it comes through the lectionary readings that we do each week and each day, right? And so it's tremendously exciting when we look at those other writings today, and I want to just read a couple of them to you just to show you what I mean. In Isaiah 42, one of the readings is in Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. And I know that, you know, there's a limit to the time we have, but I still want to read these scriptures because it really speaks more than my own words, okay? If you look at Isaiah 42, verse 1 to 9, it says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Did you hear that? Does it remind you of the scripture that Betty read today? "I have put my spirit upon him." This is Isaiah. Hundreds of years before Jesus came, he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. Does that ring a bell? I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is before Jesus came in the womb of his mother through the Holy Spirit and into this world. These were foretold things by Isaiah. So he was telling about these things. It was a message from God through Isaiah to say that Christ is coming, right? And that the thing I was reminding you of in what we were reading in the scripture in Matthew is that Jesus was baptized, right? And what happened? The heavens are open, right? The heavens open, this incredible thing, and the Father is blessing him and saying, this is my son, and pronouncing that in that moment, right? And then he's also sending the Holy Spirit, which descends upon Jesus, right? And Jesus told John the Baptist, it's so this righteousness can be fulfilled. And that's all here in the words of Isaiah, right? All these things, these good things, this message of Jesus being foretold through Isaiah, it's going to happen, but it's happening already at the time of Isaiah, right? So these are amazing things that happen in our lives that we need to be aware of as Christians, that we are not merely going through the mundane things of struggle every day, okay? I know that we have struggles and there's a lot of things going, facing people today, but there is a greater power at work in us than the one that is in this world. And we need to be aware of that. We need to get in tune with that. We need to really get into the spirit of God's spirit to say, I know that he is my redeemer and my redeemer lives. And so he is the one that is giving me this life. And there's things going on in here, but I can deal with it because God is with me. He himself is watching over me. And don't think that I came up with that idea myself today. That was God speaking to us. God speaks to us through the communion. It's not me giving you a cup and bread and saying, okay, now I'm giving you this. It's God giving us the cup and the bread and giving himself to us, right? It's all God. It's all God, right? And that's the beautiful. That's why John Calvin knows what he's talking about, because he experienced that perfect happiness of knowing that when I have God, I have everything. And he was a person that was being chased by others to kill him because he was standing up against the things that were wrong in the church. And this is a guy who's like saying, I know you want to kill me, but isn't Jesus great? You know, that's really the way it was. You know, I mean, he spent all of his time just talking about Jesus. And then he was very hard on some of the people that were doing the things that he disagreed with, you know. But his main thrust is this is a joyful and good message because it contains perfect happiness. Jesus was everything to him, right? We have to also see it that way. That's the thing that we really are being taught here. So there's another section of scripture that's in the New Testament that comes after Matthew in Acts. And I just want to draw your attention to that. And this is Peter speaking, and it's also in our lectionary verses for today. And it's verses 34 to 43 in the book of Acts chapter 10. So let me read you this. The title of this section is Gentiles Hear the Good News. Gentiles hear the good news, the joyful news, the complete happiness, the perfect happiness. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. You hear that connection? He's referring back to what happened at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And he's telling them, and he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And so here's a man, Peter, who's explaining and talking about what the gospel is, right? He's doing the same thing. It's more of a in-depth kind of an explanation to these people so that they would know the full story about Jesus. But it's really coming down to the same thing that John Calvin made a summary of here for us to benefit from. So Peter knew and saw Jesus when he was risen from the grave. Right? And he's telling people that he is the truth. And it came from the prophets before, like Isaiah. And it was brought about. And now that should get our attention also. Right. We're not just basing this on our personal experience, which is really actually the main thing that we want to express to people in our witness. But we also have to say, this is not just my idea. This comes from the word of God, and it's through the prophecy that was fulfilled. And you can read it in your Bible and see for yourself. It's proof. There were witnesses, and the fulfillment of scripture is a huge part of our witness. Right, that Jesus Christ came just as he was promised. And that's really what happens here in Matthew at this time when Jesus is being baptized. It began his ministry, right? He was a baby growing up, and not too long ago we were remembering that he was a baby born to Mary and then growing up. And then the Bible does tell us a little bit about his childhood. But it comes to this point now because we are setting our sights on Easter. And we're looking at what that means. And it's the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, right? His death first, his death on the cross, and then his resurrection. And so as a church, we want to be doing that and taking that walk together from the time at Christmas to Easter. And we really want to be witnesses, right? We don't want to go along with the scriptures and say, we know it. We want to say, we know it. And we're going to tell it. If we come to church only to celebrate Christ here, it's not enough. It's not the whole story. It's not the full witness that we have. We witnesses, we experience, we may be baptized, but there is responsibility that goes hand in hand with that as God's messengers. And that's why we have the theme that we have this year. And you can read the theme on the front of your bulletin. Take it to heart. Pray over it. Ask God, how am I going to be able to be in a position where I can read your words so someone who doesn't know it will hear it? It's so easy to find people that are in need around us. We just have to do it, right? You just have to look and use some of your time for that, at least, you know, to get out there and to share it. So let's take a look at the scripture today, and then we'll talk a little bit about what the meaning is and the implications for baptism for us. But this whole scene here with Jesus is just so incredibly beautiful and filled with meaning. It's worth a little bit more time there. Okay, so it says that Jesus came from Galilee. He was actually Nazareth in Galilee to the Jordan, to John, right? He's coming at this time. And actually, John is also someone who came to this point in his life where the big moment came. You know, the big moment for the meaning of all of his life came because he was going to be fulfilling what the scriptures had said about him and go and tell people to prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. And this is something that the Jewish people really were expecting. Right. And so he was coming as that voice from the wilderness and shouting out, prepare the way of the Lord. You know, prepare yourselves by repentance and confession of sin. And, you know, let's get our souls in the right place because the Son of God is coming. This Messiah is coming, the anointed one that was promised of old. Right. And so his big moment in time came in that way. And that was his purpose in life. Can you imagine? And he was a crazy person. I mean, not crazy, like, out of his mind, but he was like compelled and taken over by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, so that he would just go out and tell people, you've got to get ready. You have to understand me. this is true. It's coming true. He's coming. He's coming, you know, and there was one time a really great movie with a wonderful actor who really grabs you in the way that he plays the part of John the Baptist. I think his name is Peter York or something like that, but he was really into it. You know, it's something like, you've got to listen to me, pay attention to me. You know, we've got to do this. And that's a very, very tame way of saying it, the way I just did it. But there has to be that kind of an understanding in ourselves that there's something here that is talking about perfect happiness for people. Right? And so John comes and he's baptizing people and people are coming and they're gripped by this message that there is going to be this Messiah coming and they're repentant in their hearts and he baptizes them in the Jordan River and Jesus comes. And actually, you know, we were talking about this at the Bible study the other night. It's like Jesus himself is the one, right, that in whose name we're baptized and everything. And Jesus himself was coming and saying to John, baptize me. And John said, no, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? And so that's a good question, right? Why was Jesus saying, I want to be baptized by you now? Because John was the one that was full of sin and Jesus was not. Jesus didn't need to be, you know, like repenting of his sins because he didn't have any sin. But he comes to him and he says this is the reason he gives him. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And that's where he's referring to the fulfillment of what Isaiah spoke about, that someone was coming in righteousness, the righteousness of God. And this is the thing, we've been talking about righteousness a lot, right? It's a big concept for us, but this answer from Jesus deserves our full attention. It is the righteousness of God that caused him to send his own son to die for us on the cross. His righteousness is his mercy and love and grace. His righteousness, his desire to bring about a reconciliation with all of mankind unto himself was that purpose that Jesus came to him and said, let me now be baptized. I want to show you that God's love is real. And I'm willing to become a servant. I'm willing to have you, John, take me as the Son of God and take my shoulders and dip me under the water and lift me up out of that water. That's the Son of God being dunked under the water and being brought up. And that's the extent that God is willing to go for us, to send his Son to die in that grave and to be risen, to be raised up from that grave for the sake of all of us. And that is the gospel. That is the gospel. That is this source of joy and happiness, that such a God exists that would take mercy on us. And instead of us dying, we have a savior named Jesus who would do that. And so he was indeed that Messiah who was promised. That was to fulfill that prophecy in Isaiah. Okay. So then it says that he consented. And so he baptizes Jesus in that moment. He was content with that. He listened to that and he was willing to do that. He obeyed, right? And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water and behold, the heavens were open to him. So you can imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being dunked in the water in the Jordan and being brought up out of the water and the heavens open up, right? And he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming down from heaven and to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And so here we have a very good evidence for that very evasive kind of thing that people call the Trinity. We have Jesus Christ, right, the Son of God and the Father in heaven. And we have the Holy Spirit all one together. For what purpose? To save you and me. It's this incredible moment, and it came about when Jesus came up from the water in that kind of a way, and it points us to the love of God. it points us to the great love that he extends to each one of us. And so we take this in. We want to take this in today and appreciate who Jesus is, that he loves us so much. It's what that young lady Asia needs to hear the next time we get together, right? It's what someone in your life needs to hear, that there is such love and mercy and forgiveness of sins. And that takes us to our own situation. I mean, there's more we can say about this. The Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus at that time was to show us that it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that his ministry was to be carried out, right? And that also teaches us as well that when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not our own power. It's the power of God working in us, right? It's God's power working in us. We are very prone to, you know, taking credit for things that only God can do. But it is an important lesson for us to know that it's only through the Holy Spirit that people can come to know Christ, right? And it's that power of the Holy Spirit that was working with the love of God and in Jesus Christ, his son, as he walked this earth. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit that brought him up from the grave, right? And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into us when we're baptized and we come out of that water and we're received into this kingdom of God, and that we're a new creation, right? That is what you are. And it all came through the example of Jesus Christ. He wanted you to know, I identify with you. I'm here. I feel you. I am here for you. I'm going to endure all of this pain and suffering because I love you. And guys, that isn't something that is too foreign from our own everyday kind of things. You know, I can think of so many people sitting here today who give of themselves for others. You know, family members, thinking about them, caring about them, wanting to help them, you know, spending time worrying about them, investing their lives in them. And it all comes from Jesus. It isn't, you know, just something good that we of ourselves have. It comes from him, right? And that is the great thing we want to give honor to God with, that he has given us all these things that we can share with other people and gift other people and spend time with other people and let them know that they're loved and care about them. And the other side of that is that oftentimes we think, okay, I can't do this. But in those moments, God says, I can do that for you. I can do that for you. I'm here right with you right now, and I'm going to help you. You don't know what to do in that situation, and you care. And that's a great thing to care, but I can give you the answers. And sometimes those answers come in surprising ways, right? But we're here for each other. And Jesus is showing that all through his baptism and all these things, relinquishing himself and saying, John, I know you're merely a man. Take me, the Son of God, and baptize me. Amazing, right? And that it stirs our hearts to worship and to praising him. And that's the thing that we come in to sing songs with. It's not just a show. It's the real thing, you know? It's the real deal. And all these things that we hear and that we sing about, we can say, yeah, you know, God is real and he has touched my life and I want to praise him. So coming back to baptism at Easter, you know, there's in our church, we basically have this approach to it. In some churches, they have what they call catechism. Some of you who are associated with a church, maybe the Reformed Church or with the Catholic Church in the past or something like that, you know that they actually go through teachings from the time when a child comes into the church or a person comes into the church, and they teach you things of the Bible, and it leads to that day when you're baptized, right? So you give a confession of your faith, and then you're baptized in that kind of a way. We have that kind of in a loose way in our church. You know, we do teach children and we do bring them up in the Lord, and our hope is that they will have that. But we don't designate a day like the Catholic Church would or another church would say, okay, now you've completed your studies, so now you can be baptized. What our approach is that a person says, I feel that God is speaking to my heart and I want to be baptized. right? And I'm not trying to say the other way is wrong, but this is the approach that we have. The thing is, those of us who are baptized and desire for others to be baptized are like, I wish that they would do it. I wish they would do it, because it's a joyful and good message that is real, and it's perfect happiness for you. And I think that that's really the biggest thing that John Calvin has given to us today in explaining that, that we want that experience of happiness in every soul of every human being. But it's a personal thing between each individual with God, right? It's a time that you spend in reflecting on that. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, to do so, okay? That's Pastor John, that's me as Uncle John or as John saying to you, I can tell you from my own experience, I know there's other people here in this room who all believe the same way, that we are just aching for you to be baptized. And we really want that because we know how great God is and how great Jesus is. And we also know that our sins are really something that we need to have taken care of by him. We cannot be born anew without the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus is the only one that can do that. And so oftentimes, like in my case, God spoke to me in the night about the heaviness of my sin, and I couldn't stand it anymore. And so I went to talk to someone about it, and then they said, you need Jesus. And so I'm telling you, you need Jesus. We all need Jesus. It isn't just some of us. It's everyone, right? And so you can tell, you know, the way I'm talking about it right now, I'm not like some kind of a professional who can like write things down like John Calvin can and say, okay, do this and do this. But I know he's real. And I know his love is real. And so what I really feel like saying to you today, because this is the day that we remember Jesus' baptism, is that the Holy Spirit wants us to know, if you haven't been baptized already, now is the time that you can do that. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, now is the time to do that, right? Is your sin weighing on your heart? Do you feel that pull of Jesus? That little button that I gave to Chris is actually a magnet. You know, we were talking about magnets, and Jesus draws us into himself. So I'm just going to pray before we take communion together today and we read the scriptures. And I just want you to pray to God about what it is that he is speaking to you about. And if it's that you want to be baptized, that you will say, yes, Lord, I obey you. I will do it. And then we can rejoice with you in that moment to do that. Okay. And if you're feeling like in you're baptized, but you haven't been living that way, you haven't really been living in the way that you thought it was going to go, and you've gotten away from God, this is the moment where you can come back, right? That God will guide you back to that place where you need to be. So you say, yes, Lord, I want to follow Jesus. I want to live as a Christian. I want to live as a child of God. So God will help you also to do that. Let's just pray. Father, we come to you as people on the face of this earth, and you've gathered us here in this church today. Thank you, Father, for all the dear people who you have gathered here. We know that Jesus, after he was baptized, he went out and he ministered to people. And so we just pray, Father, for us who are baptized, that we would take that to heart. And that we would go out and minister to people and know that you're the one that's going to do it. And thank you for that assurance. We pray also, Father, for those that are maybe thinking about baptism or, you know, becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and they have different questions on their mind. Maybe it's a fear that, you know, it's going to be too big of a commitment because they have so many things going on, or maybe they're afraid because they're afraid of what their friends are going to think, or some other reason. We all have those experiences and we know them. But God, we just pray that this moment would be a personal one between each person here, whether it's the baptism question or maybe even something else that you are putting into their hearts. maybe a sin that they've been committing that you want to bring to their attention so that they can be forgiven and move on, claiming the grace of God and the forgiveness of sins. Or some other reason, but we just pray, God, that you will help us as we read your word today to see the immense love that you have for us. And that our lives will, in this time, Father, this will be a time for the heavens opening up and the Spirit coming down and just touching every life that is here. And your voice speaking to us, Lord, just as you spoke to Jesus. And telling us the loving, wonderful things that you want us to know. And so as we prepare our hearts to remember Jesus in the communion, the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup that represents his body and blood, Lord, just prepare our hearts and bless us in the ways that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.